Thank you, Andrea. She does it so well. I have a little short report. Actually, she went the second week of December. I went the first week of December. That's why we only had a few hours in the crossover of the time that we shared together. And I just want to show a couple of short videos and tell a little bit about our time there. But most important point I wanted to say is that New Life Bible Church has been investing in this congregation for several years now. And if I took you there now and showed you the pictures that we had when we first started going, you would see there's been a radical difference in the community. Not just the church. The church building's expanded, more people are coming in. They just brought in 50 new chairs while we were there. But apart from the growth in the church and its leaders and people, it has radically affected the community. And you can go to all the other sort of townships around about, and they are as this one was when we first went there. They've actually come in inexplicably and put a road in, a proper road instead of a dirt track in this township. A lot of the houses have moved from being sort of tin shacks to houses made out of a concrete block with stucco and proper roof. And the people in the congregation have gotten jobs. I was surprised at the number of cars and the number of nice cars that were there represented in the congregation. So in a place that had over 50% unemployment, and many young people without the hope of ever getting a job or even maybe going to university, God has blessed them. And I just want you to know that your sowing into this particular congregation has made a huge difference. And they love us and they pray for us. And you'll see there's a little message that comes on at the end. But two quick videos here. I think the first one. All right, if you just turn your head to the side, you'll get it. Hold, just stop it for a second. Let me explain a little bit here. We had five times of preaching and four times on the radio. And so then we had a little day off, and what you're seeing here, if you turn your head sideways, I think I don't know, I saw the guy videoing and he kept turning his phone around. I never figured that out. But anyway, we had a day off, so we went to the beach. Unlike Andrea's trip to the beach, we went there for a barbecue. And after we ate, a lot of the young people were around, put in a circle. We were playing some games at the end of lots of interesting games that I'd never played before. The Pastor Julius, had individuals come into the center of the circle and share what they had received from our time of ministry there. And so that's kind of what you're hearing now. And then a special message to the youth of New Life at the end. So I'll go ahead and play that now.
Hallelujah. Hello guys, my name is Sunday Philip Lena, representing the youth, also a Sunday school teacher. Pastor Rick, we'd like to take this opportunity and say thank you for everything that you've done this past week. The word has impacted us a lot. I'm sure every one of us here, lives have changed because of the word. We've learned a lot, Pastor Rick. We'd like to say thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you so much.
Amen. You must tell the youth in London.
We must tell the youth in London, yeah. We must come to South Africa. Yes. We must come to Amazing Grace, woo! International. Round of applause, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I want to say thanks to that Bishop God, that I want to
tell
you. Yes. And Tanner, yes. Pastor Ray, who's and I want to say thank you to Pastor Rick and thanks to all of us who are here.
First, let me say, unfundis in pity.
Amen!
Thank you for welcoming me, for loving me. And letting me be a part of this great family.
That's good. Next one. Okay, just hold that one for a second, Janelle. I'll give you a little background on this one. I'm not as organized as Andrea. We had four times of ministry at the church there in East London, and then we drove on Saturday morning 4 hours to another city to speak at the church that you're about to see here. And we had been there last year and ministered there, and they wanted us to come back there. And it's kind of a unique situation. But on this particular day, I had kind of understood that we were going to go there, and Pastor Julius was going to speak, and then I would just kind of wrap up with a few things after he spoke. But we got there, and the schedule was they started their service at 10, and they were going to have a raft of preachers all day long, and they finished at 10 minutes to midnight. So I was one of several speakers on the day. But God was with us, and we had an awesome time. Go ahead, play that now. Okay, yes. Oh, yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yes, it was a wonderful time of encouraging them and their leaders. And we talked about renewing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we had wonderful times of prayer and ministry, and a great time was had by everybody who participated. And so I just wanted to share that with you there. We met a couple of other pastors who in other parts of South Africa who would like us to come there. And in fact, one of them had been listening to us on the radio while we were there. So it was a worthwhile ministry trip, and one that I believe greatly encouraged the local church. All right, seeing that time has slipped by, I'm just going to pass out my notes to you, make a few comments, and we'll go from there. I know that some of you have this look of unbelief on your face. But I'd like to speak for a few minutes on becoming a finisher like Christ. Becoming a finisher like Christ. We could actually have the lights back on again. Ah, good. Now I can see your faces. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word of the Lord, that wherever it goes forth, Lord, with a mission to accomplish something. And we pray that the word of the Lord will come to each of us today again and move us, Lord, into new places in you. May we, Lord, jettison anything that causes stagnation or lack of progress. Thank you that you would work in us that which reveals you to this world. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. John 4:34, if we can just look there for a few moments. John 4:34. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish. Everybody say, to finish. To finish his work. And you can put yourself in this verse, that God's design for you and I is to do the work of him who sent us. You were born on earth, but more significantly, you were born in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven, and God has sent you, he's called you and sent you to finish a particular work with your life. And not just to live life and suck air and make a living, but to actually accomplish a specific and unique work with your life. And so Jesus says, what sustains me is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Many people think, well, okay, I'm a Christian, so I must be doing the will of him who sent me. Not necessarily, as we'll see. Is that God has something for you to do besides attend church and give financially? He has a unique work for you to do with your life. And so you have a responsibility to not only engage with that truth intellectually, but to actually finish it. Many people have ideas, I'd like to do this, I'd like to be that, but they don't get started, and they certainly don't finish if you don't start. So Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus said, I have the testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, he's given me to finish. God has a work for you to finish. If you haven't grasp this, it's vital at this juncture of your life. You say, well, what is it that God requires me to do and to finish? It's a work that's not done in a moment or an instance or an occurrence. It is a life work. So whatever God has placed in your life, someday, according to Romans 14:12, you'll give account, and it'll be as though God knocks on your door and says, oh, what did you do with the gifts and the talents, the abilities, the time, the money, the energy that I gave you when I called you out of darkness into light? What did you do with your life? Did you finish the work I gave you? Did you take your life assignment seriously and follow it through to its completion? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says that God finished his work on the sixth day and rested on the seventh. So we understand God is a finisher. He starts things and he brings them to completion. In John 19:30, we see in the great redemptive work of Christ, after Christ did everything that God required of him and he died, his last words were, it is finished. It's finished. So God is a finisher, and the finisher lives inside you and I. And he wants us to be like him and to finish, to complete our life assignment. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, all of these can be expanded, and I'm sure that you will expand them if you take time to read them. But you're in a race, you're in a course. That's your life journey, and God expects there to be something to show for it at the end of your days, and that'll be the basis of our reward, as the Bible says a lot about our reward. So it won't be, you'll have a great reward simply because you gave your life to Jesus. Yeah, you'll have the reward of Christ and the body of Christ and heaven and all of that, but something specifically related to your life assignment. And, you know, in our busy world, it's very easy to get on the track of modern living and just day rolls upon one day after another, week after another, month after another, until boom, the year is gone. 2019 is about to end. We're about to enter 2020. And, you know, I pray virtually every day, Lord, help me to finish my assignment. Help me to finish my assignment. Because I can tell you at this juncture, life goes just like that. You know, when you're 14, you can't wait until you're 18. And then sometimes when you're 18, you can't wait until you're 21. When you're 21, you can't wait until you're 30. But it just goes by like a vapor, as the Bible says, so quickly. And so it's important that you don't just live your life, but you actually realize you're on a mission. If you turned up at work and your boss says, okay, here's your job, you say, well, I'm here. No, this is what we want you to do. Yeah, but I'm here. No, but this is what we want you to do. I know, but I came. And many people take that kind of approach to their Christian journey. They're Christian. They turn up to the Christian site, so to speak, but they haven't embraced, understood their assignment, and so they're not pursuing it. If you're not pursuing it, you won't finish. One man, discouraged, very discouraged, he dreamed one time that he was standing on the top of a great rock of granite, and he was trying to break it with a pickaxe, and hour after hour, he worked on it with no result. Last, he said, it's useless. I'll stop. Suddenly, in his dream, a man stood by him and asked, were you not allotted to this task? And if so, why are you going to abandon it? My work is in vain. I can make no impression on this granite. Then the stranger replied, that is nothing to you. Your duty is to pick whether the rock yields or no. The work is yours. The results are in others' hands. Work on. And in his dream, this discouraged man saw himself setting out anew with his efforts. And at his first blow, the rock flew into hundreds of pieces. In your life journey, you can have all kinds of things to stop you from completing your assignment. You can have distractions. You can have trouble. All kinds of things. But in the end, the Bible says, when you see Christ, you want to hear what the parables record of the master giving a response to those that had been given something to do something with. And you know the scripture from Matthew 25:23. When they came and they had produced something with the resources they had, the master said, well done. Well done. And that's what you and I want to hear. Well done. D-O-N-E. He won't say, well started. Well started. No, he'll say, well done. Well done. Finished. Completed. And that's vital for us to grasp. And you'll only feel a sense of accomplishment in life if you actually accomplish something, if you complete something. I give you a few scriptures there about a sluggard. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Now, I won't take 2 hours to preach that, but really what he's saying is the sluggard is somebody whose comfort or convenience is more significant to him than any other mission. Looking after me. And so all of us, if we're not careful, can partake of a sluggard mentality. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a sluggard. Especially in relation to our life assignment. Proverbs 18:9 says, one who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. What a statement. Someone who is destructive is actually ruining potential. Their own, if not others. Proverbs 21:25-26 says, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves more, but the righteous give without sparing. Everybody is put within them who knows Christ an instinct to accomplish something with their life. They may, as they sit here today or around the globe, be ignorant of what specifically that is, but that instinct is still there. The desire is there. The longing is there. The dream is there. Where did it come from? It came from the one who wants to unfold it for you and enable you to complete your life assignment. How do we learn to finish and finish well? To become a good finisher, you have to first of all start. If you don't start, you won't finish. So many people are in the survivalist mode. I get through the days and the weeks, the months and the years. I hopefully am able to enjoy as much as I can enjoy my life journey. Hopefully I'll raise my family so I can enjoy them in my latter years. And so I'm kind of more engaged with the life of this world than I am a divine mission for my life. Let me tell you, if you subscribe to God's mission for your life, He'll give you wisdom about all those responsibilities that you have in other areas of your life. If you don't subscribe to His mission, you're really saying, I'm living for me. And you will be bereft, without, bankrupt of the wisdom that you need for every other important area of your life. What is your life assignment? So you got to start. If you're going to finish, if you're going to complete your course, you've got to embrace hardship, opposition, exhaustion, failure, and misunderstanding and ignorance. Those things come in your life journey. And all of them are designed on at two levels. One, to destroy you. The devil wants to make such opposition, put things in your way. God allows it to develop character, perseverance, so that there is some determination that's worked in you. You know, these lessons start when you're a kid. If you have good parents, and I had good parents, my parents taught us to be finishers. I don't know what you were like when you were a boy or a girl, but I found myself like in wanting to kind of skip out and duck out and not do chores like they should have been done. My parents wouldn't allow it. If we went outside to play and we hadn't finished all the washing up, maybe left a plate or something, or didn't wipe a counter down, get back in here and finish the job. You know, we kind of resented it. Because I'd rather do this. But I'm grateful today that they said an important value in life is being a finisher. It may have seemed like a little thing, but it begins to feed into your whole mentality. Because many people live by their emotions and their feelings. No one ever required them to finish anything, so they can start all kinds of things but never finish. You got to be willing to embrace those things if you're going to finish. You have to be someone who forgives. Offenses will take you out of your life assignment if you let them. There are lots of people today who started well and they were going great guns, and then they got offended. Boom! Arrow stuck in their heart. They don't recover and forgive. They don't finish their life assignment. Oh, I went to a church and it divided, it separated. There was scandal, there was division, there was this, there was that, the other. And so then they just become someone who is coasting through life, hoping that they can enjoy it as much as they possibly can. There's no motor. There's no mission, there's no objective. to their existence. Keep the fire burning. Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, the fire goes out. You've got to keep your own fire burning. What is God requiring of you? What is he saying to you? What dream, what prophecy, what thing has he put inside of you? Are you pursuing that? Don't give it up. Don't stop. Keep the fire burning. Grow in your revelation of his calling on your life. Recognize your own excuse-making keeps you from finishing. Don't allow anyone or anything to keep you from fully discovering what your assignment is and fulfilling it. And persevere to the end. All right, in closing, a finisher checklist. Put on your seatbelt now. Are you a faithful communicator? In other words, you have things that are an obligation as part of a relationship. Do you connect with people? Are you a faithful communicator, or just leave all things at loose ends? Do you respond to others in a timely manner? All this has to do with maintaining your obligation and your being a finisher, someone who completes things, who gets things done, who enables others. Are you a faithful giver of time, ability, and money? Or is it just kind of, well, you know, as it's convenient, or if it's not convenient, well, you know, I let that go. No, your whole life is tied together with loving others and enabling others and blessing others. Are you a consistent lover of everyone in your world? Or do you have the pause button on some people? Now, don't be looking around. You have the pause button. Well, I love everybody, but what? Are you still looking to be loved like everyone in this world? Everyone in this world is looking to be loved. If you're a Christian, you're meant to be looking to love. You see people as opportunities to bless them, to help them. You're not going there hoping they will affirm you. Hopefully that they will give you some attention that you are craving. You won't finish your life assignment. And you'll find that it's an empty pursuit. Are you faithful to appreciate and thank others? Are you faithful in reading your Bible and praying? All these are part of making us finishers, those who can complete our assignment. Are you faithful to connect and build relationships with others, or do you easily let go or drift away from maintaining relationships? You find excuses easily coming to mind where something more might be asked of you. Well, I just can't do any more. You know, I only have so much time, and I'm so tired, and I got my work and my family. I just don't feel up to it. Jesus called busy people. If you have a life assignment, you can be sure if you pursue it, you'll be a busy person. Jesus went about doing good. And your life will be divided up between what you think is important and what God thinks is important. You won't have any cohesion there. Yes, God wants you to look after your family. He wants you to look after your health. All those are a part of your life assignment because they're part of the person he made you to be. Vitally important. But there is a unique and special mission that you have. Are you merely an attender of services where church is concerned? How often do you significantly engage with others in the family of God? What are your excuses for not doing so? Would he be okay with those excuses? Well, you know, people often say to me, well, there's nobody here like me. That's for certain. There is nobody here like you. Hallelujah. You're not looking for someone who's like you. You're just here to be a lover of others, care about others. When God puts the scales at the end of your life and says, okay, on this side we have the weight of you caring for yourself, and on this side we have the weight of you caring about others, which one will be the heaviest? Which one will be the heaviest? And what will be the reasons? Finish your course by being a lover of others. Are you faithful in your home to help with lots of little tasks? Or do you simply let others do most of the work? Do you serve with joy or do you serve begrudgingly? Can you run a Hoover? If you can run a Hoover, raise your right hand. Okay, some of you don't have a hand. Okay, that's all right. I know a lot of people witnessed that. Can you run a Hoover, do the washing up? How many of you have ever done washing up? Okay, and the rest of you have watched the washers. Okay. Take out the trash. How many can take out the trash? All right, okay. Hang out clothes. Nope. I see we're getting less votes all the time here. Wash the car. Oh, no, I got a machine to do that. A machine has to be operated. Go get some few things from the shops when you are tired. And the rest of you just do without, huh? Okay. Do you secretly do a lot of little things to help without giving public notice? Oh, by the way, I did. Some people want public credit for all they do. By the way, sweetheart, I took the trash out. In the record of good things that Rick has done, be sure you make note of that. And when your life isn't for you, it's for others, you do things simply because they need to be done, and you're a worker and a servant and a helper and somebody who enables the success of your family and your church and your community and your workplace. Some people are minimalist. They won't finish their assignment. Do you struggle to volunteer to help? If so, why? Is your life not your own or not your own? Who does it belong to? Oh, here's another one. Are you quickly out the door after services because you got what you wanted or needed and ticked the box of attendance? Or as church people, as church people and life and relationships, opportunities. You know, at the end of the message today, I'm going to give you a little assignment to help us all. Because we get into patterns of living, don't we? Because you're pretty much sitting where you normally sit. And it's amazing how the people who sit on this side, they are the ones that sit on this side, and that's the outer regions over there. So do you ever get to know these people very well? And the center section, that's the Outer Hebrides. Are you a watcher or a worker? Some people can easily watch others work and feel no urge to assist. I can say sometimes, as I often do, okay, we want to change this sanctuary around and take all the chairs, put them on the side, bring up some tables. We're going to have some food like we do, watch night service. I can guarantee you we'll have 25 people scurrying around like rats, and the rest of them are all talking because that's their ministry, is to talk. When it's time to work, it's my time to talk, Pastor. I have a ministry of talking and watching. I'm a talker. A talker. You know what I'm saying. But is this your house? Is this your house? Is this where God's planted you? I would never have much success knocking on the door of my neighbor and saying, look, I got a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. Would you come over and wash them up? I can't stand looking at them anymore. You'd say, what? It's your house, your mess, you fix it. When you own the body of Christ as your family, then you say everything belongs to us. both the opportunities and the responsibilities and the acclamation. There are people in other parts of the world that pray for you and bless you and think highly of you. And that's as it should be. But it's so vital that in our life here together, we say we have an assignment, not just to believe God for another big building, so we can grow up in the body of Christ and reach our world, which means we gotta, every person has to embrace a life assignment. Are you faithful to do your best with the responsibilities you've been given in the home and in the workplace and in the house? Are you faithful? Whatever it is, Sunday school, creche, catering, cleaning, whatever responsibility you have, are you faithful with that? Are you really giving it your best? As though it really mattered? It was something God gave you? Oh, Pastor, I don't think God would assign me to clean toilets. Well, thank God somebody, he's assigned somebody. I mean, no toilets had to be cleaned. In most houses, anyway. That's as important as anything else. Our life mission begins with Christ, and it's sustained by our relationship with Him. And I believe that God wants to give us all enlarged revelation of your own unique assignment. But it's vital that you and I open our hearts and minds and say, okay, understanding my life assignment is not only bending my ear to the Lord in prayer and the Word and attending God's house, but it's recognizing the obvious. Everybody say recognizing the obvious. What does that mean? It means that these people are the ones that God has placed in my life. So they have significance. If they have significance, my purpose is related partially to them and partially to those out there and partially those who live in my address and partially to those who are in South Africa or wherever. These are not just collections of chemical material that are irrelevant. No. These people have significance to my life purpose. God has put you in my life for a reason and put me in your life for a reason. And when I stand before him, I'll say, Rick, what did you do with Marilee and the kids and your grandkids? I like a report, please. What did you do with them? Did you love Marilee unconditionally? Did you, in partnership with her, train your children to walk in my ways? Did you embrace your grandchildren? Okay, that's one family. What about the other family? Did you make other people's children like your children? Or were they not significant to you? Just somebody else's responsibility. Could you take one of the children and sit down next to them at the back and just say, Papa wants to tell you something. Papa wants to give you something. One of my Sunday school teachers had a great impact in my life because he didn't just see me as one of the boys in the class. He saw that his life had purpose by touching and telling me things that I never heard from my parents. Your life takes on meaning and significance. You begin to move into a narrower understanding, a clearer picture of your life assignment when you connect with the obvious, the people that God has placed in your life. Stand to your feet. Here's what I'd like us to do as we close. I'd like you to go to somebody in this room that you never had any significant conversation with, ask them where they were born and how many siblings they have. Okay? God bless you. Go for it.